the Board of Commissioners to the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. I want to welcome everybody. We do have coffee and water and some homemade, what are they, Nancy?
I call them Rebel Bars. Revel Bars. Revel Bars.
Revel Bars, not to be confused with Rebel Bars. And they are on the table
with the coffee
opposite where we're speaking from. Am I correct about that?
That's right. It's a counter.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's up against
on the east wall?
Up against the wall. The which wall?
East wall.
East. Am I facing?
South.
I'm facing south.
So it's on the east wall. Okay.
So they're not exactly opposite us, because west has always been opposite of east to me, but... Yeah, no wonder. Anyway, and if that isn't enough for your snacking pleasure, there are some other snacks, but you may have to put forth some money for those. Who wants to make the quick announcement about that?
Okay. The Nebraska Association of Blind Students has candy here. We only have 2 bags of plain M&Ms left. We have 2 Snickers and lots of Skittles and Sprees.
Okay, so if you want Skittles and Sprees, go to those guys and quietly do that. I would prefer that you did it during, like, break and stuff like that. Okay, also, since we're in this room for our meeting rather than where we customarily are, and by the way, I just for the record want to say that none of the commissioners actually was late. It's that we were sort of almost in 2 meeting places, going to have our meeting by remote control or something. I don't know. So that's why we're starting slightly late. Those guys were where we ordinarily meet. We human beings are such creatures of habit that even if we have messages to the contrary, we go to where we're used to going, programmed to go, or whatever. So anyway,
I had a note that it's in a different place than usual. The names of the buildings didn't mean anything to.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try to do that. Boy, you guys, I thought we weren't bureaucrats. Okay. Anyway, what that means that's relevant to everybody is that if you need to use the restroom facility, you'll need to go out of this building and into the commission building, and the doors should be open. And on the administrative side, that is, once you go into the commission building, if you make a left and go through the door, then on the right is where the restroom that's open will be. So that's the one thing that's less convenient about this room, but it is a nice room. I'm glad glad we got it. I think that's all of the preliminary announcements. We will go around and let everybody introduce themselves. I'm Barbara Walker. I'm chairman of the commission board. By the time we meet again, I'll be Barbara Lose, because as of the 27th of December, I'll be marrying Brad Lose, and we'll be getting married in the Trinity United Methodist Church on 16th and A Streets. Anybody is welcome to come. We'd like for people to let us know if you're coming, because that way we'll have enough cake, for one thing.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
So please let us know if you're coming, and, we'd like to have the opportunity to celebrate with you. And I guess we'll go start at the left end of the table here with the commissioners, and then we'll let everybody else introduce themselves.
Okay, Bill Rester from Lincoln.
Nancy Altman from Hastings.
Bob Burns from Omaha.
And I'm Dorothy Weston Yankee from South Sioux City.
And we always need to have Dorothy speak up. She's our quiet member.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. need... Oh, now, Evelyn.
What was that?
She said that we didn't grow up with you.
Those of us that didn't grow up.
They're sisters.
Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director here in Lincoln.
Jan Ludwig, Pearl's assistant.
Let me go around the outside, Mary.
Mary Davis. I work at the commission, counselor.
Connie Daly, commission supervisor. Vicki Rasmussen, the Director of the Client Assistance Program. Karen Mosher, Transition Coordinator.
Larry Mackey, Rehab Counselor with the Commission.
Harry Harris, in the Center for Private Administrator.
Elizabeth Harris, Carrie's daughter.
Bob Deaton, Deputy Director of the Commission Lincoln.
Hardy Holm, I work for D&D Pending for Dave here, and have some machines of my own.
Dave Hunt, Chairman of the Committee of Blind Vendors, and a vendor here in Lincoln.
Howard Simons, and I'll address you.
Jamie Corbus, Lincoln.
Ryan Ozentoski, I am the NFB Newsline Coordinator for the state of Nebraska and struggling college student living here in Lincoln. Amateur philosopher. Yes, exactly.
Amy Mason, student here in Lincoln.
Wesley Harris, UNL student, Lincoln.
Carlos Cervan, Deputy Director for VR Services, Commission for the Blind, Lincoln.
Mary Susan Orester, Lincoln.
James S. Nyman, also Lincoln.
Brent Hine, Lincoln.
Dave Sampson, Lincoln.
Amy Burrish from Lincoln. work as a transition counselor in the Lincoln District.
Shane Burrish, Lincoln.
Evelyn Haynes, Lincoln.
Fritz Yockey, Dorothy's husband.
Poor soul.
I'm wedded for this.
No one.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming. We're going to try to move through things as quickly as possible, but we also want to make sure that we give all of the concerns and the subjects at hand their due. There are a couple of things that we need to add to the agenda. By the way, are there agendas available for the...
Yes, they're on a chair, just as you come in to the room.
Okay.
There's one grill for the whole public.
Oh, sure.
That's what we're on the ticket to have. There may be more. I did make extra. And okay. There is large grill.
Okay. Is that being passed, the grill agenda guide, or not?
That would be a good idea, pass it around.
Yeah, if you want to pass it around, that would be fine. Somebody needs to initiate the passing around of it.
Is there just one left?
No.
Go ahead and pass all of the Braille agendas around.
No, me first,
all right. Pass them all around. Whatever's out there, it's better to use them than have them sitting there looking pretty. Okay, the other thing is we need to add two items to the new business. We have the agencies, boards, and commissions form that the governor had sent out that we want to add to new business.
Got one more, Ray.
And also I've been asked to add comments concerning Newsline to new business. So when we get to new business, there are two additional items. At the beginning of each of our meetings, we announce concerning public comment that there is a specified time on the agenda each time for public comments. However, we do also generally allow public comments whenever there's time. Now, if the meeting gets to be long, then, you know, I as chairman have the discretion of saying we're going to keep the comments to commission board members so that we can move things along. But by and large, since what we want is to have people come to our meetings and also participate in them, and sometimes the public comment section doesn't happen before the thing that you might want to comment on, we try to be flexible about public comments. We also do tape our meetings. Sometimes the quality has been good, sometimes it's been not so good. We do try to make sure that the tapes are listenable and available to people throughout the state. We've been making a copy of them available to each of the district offices, so if people want to, you can get tapes of our meetings. So hopefully we're in the ongoing process of making sure that they come out listenable. I haven't tended to listen to them after going through the meeting once. That's usually enough for me. So if we don't get feedback from consumers, then we don't really necessarily know how the tapes are coming out. So anyway, that's something that we work on an ongoing way. The next item is the minutes of the August 2nd meeting. Does anybody have any additions or corrections to the minutes as they have appeared in draft form?
If not, I would move acceptance of the draft copy to become the official copy of the previous meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the draft minutes become the approved minutes of the August 2nd, 2003 meeting. Is there discussion? If not, all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, those minutes can be moved from draft to approved status. The next item on the agenda, excuse me, is our focus topic. And we have been, since the time of the creation of the commission, having focus topics at our meetings so that we know something about what is going on in various aspects of the commission's operation and anything that affects it. One of the things that does affect clients of the commission is the client assistance program. And so we have asked, and she has agreed to come and give us a report. And I never cease to misspell her first name, and I did it again on the agenda. But Vicki, without the E, Rasmussen, has come to bring a focus report on the client assistance program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I was going to ask, because I know each of you should have gotten a copy of my report.
Yes, we did. Thank you very much.
Would you like me to read through that, or do you have questions, or how would you like me to proceed?
Probably, does anybody have questions? Because really, the written report will be on the minutes of this meeting as the official report. And so, do any of you commissioners have questions about the written report? Or do you want it read?
I think it should be read because the people in the audience haven't seen it. And perhaps after hearing it, they would have questions. And perhaps we'd have questions also.
It wasn't
okay.
For long,
no. All right.
Okay. If I'm going too fast, or holler at me. Today I'm here to talk about the Client Assistance Program, which is commonly referred to as CAP. That's normally how you will hear it, is just CAP. And I've been the director of the Client Assistance Program for close to 17 years, and I'm housed at the State Office Building here in Lincoln. Every state and territory has a condition for receiving their federal money under Section 110 of the Rehab Act that each state must have a Client Assistance Program. The program has been around since 1973, first as a project, and then was established as a mandatory program by the 1984 amendments to the Rehab Act. The Nebraska CAP is unique. When the funding for the projects were taken away from each state, the Nebraska General Vocational Rehabilitation felt the idea of CAP works, and they kept the CAP going with their own staff, person, and money. So when the Rehab Act amendments made it mandatory for each state to have a CAP, those states that had continued one without federal dollars were grandfathered in, which meant that the CAP program could remain within vocational rehabilitation.
Most client assistance programs are within the protection and advocacy agencies. There are probably about 7 CAPs internal to Voc Rehab. On Wednesday afternoons, I am housed here at the Commission, and I feel this has been very beneficial to the relationship between NCVVI and CAP. This gives me the opportunity to meet with Dr. Van Zandt and to have access to all other staff as well. This has allowed me to develop a working relationship with staff instead of just contacting staff when I have a complaint. The CAP's relationship with the Commission has come a long ways. When the program became mandatory, a lot of the agencies had a difficult time really accepting the CAP director coming in and having access to the files. And so it's great to kind of have gone from that to now being here on Wednesday afternoons. I'm very involved with the placement committee and attend the administrative staff meetings, the district meetings, and the statewide staff meetings, and the philosophy sessions every other Wednesday, and any other meetings that I possibly can attend. I present about CAP to new staff and also at the college workshop, and anytime I am asked, I am glad to do that. A few years ago, I went through 2 weeks of training through the Orientation Center, which really helped me to understand what services clients are receiving while at the center. CAP is for vocational rehabilitation clients and client applicants who are seeking or receiving services from a project, program, or facility funded under the Rehab Act, which means I handle the complaints and concerns for clients or applicants of the General Vocational Rehabilitation Agency, the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, WorkNet, and any centers for independent living across the state. And examples of that would be the League of Human Dignity, like the Panhandle Independent Living Center, like the Center for Independent Living out in Grand Island. CAP is funded by the U.S. Department of Education in all states as a separate grant. The Client Assistance Program helps people with disabilities who are seeking or receiving services by providing information about the Rehab Act, including how these programs or projects under the Act can help you get, keep, or advance in work, how do you qualify, how do you pilot your own rehabilitation plan, the purpose of the Rehab Act, and the rights under the Act. I also assist individuals who are having problems applying or receiving services under the Act. I help teach them how to make requests to the agency or to the staff they are working with, refer to other agencies if needed, negotiate a resolution, mediate disputes, advocate for the client with the agency, present requests to the agency on behalf of the client, obtain legal representation when appropriate for the appeal process through the impartial hearing, solving communication problems. Individuals can call the Client Assistance Program for any of the following reasons. How is the person eligible for rehabilitation services? Maybe they were not allowed to complete an application. They disagree with any decision to deny, stop, or delay services. Cannot get a written decision on a request that has been made. Not allowed informed choice in the rehabilitation program. If there is a disability-related problem and they feel like, and you do not know where to go get help, I can assist with that. If a staff person is maybe not following through or not returning phone calls, you can contact the CAP program at 800-742-7594 or 471-3656. When an individual contacts CAP, I will listen to their concern, explain the role of CAP, and send a release form. Once I receive the release form, I contact Bob or Carlos and make them aware of the contact. Bob if it is an IL issue, and Carlos if it is a VR issue. I will then visit with the staff person involved and review the case file. I will follow up with the staff person or client if I have further questions. I then determine if the appropriate decision has been made according to the rules and regulations. If I support the decision, I will explain to the client why. Or if I feel the decision is not supported, I will visit further with the staff person and explain why I disagree. If the staff person stands by their decision and I still disagree, I will visit with the supervisor or Carlos to explain why I disagree and a possible resolution. If I feel a decision has been made that is in conflict with rules and regulations, and NCBVI will not overturn the decision, I will assist the individual through the impartial hearing process with representation of an attorney. Every effort is made to resolve the concern at the lowest level. NCBVI also believes this, and every attempt is made to resolve the concern or help the client to understand the reason for the decision and what can be done to move the case forward. Last year, I had a total of 55 cases, and two of those were with NCBVI. This year, I had a total of 59 cases, and two of those were with NCBVI. This year's cases were, they disagreed with the decision to assist with repair of a computer and disagreed with the eligibility decision. With a computer repair, that decision was overturned, and the client was assisted with that. On the second one, I supported the decision about the eligibility, but the individual actually received services through the Older Blind project. And that was it. Are there any further questions or anything you'd like for me to elaborate on?
I had some questions, I know. It seems to me that so you work for Voc Rehab, but you're basically applying federal law through the Rehab Act, so that the clients get what services they're due. I guess it seems odd to me that it seems like it'd be a federal employee rather than a state. So what is your relationship with? Because I know there's a federal chain of command, uh-huh. And then you're in the Voc Rehab, which is a state. As far as how you interpret and apply the Rehab Act, I mean, that's federal. So do you work with or coordinate with the federal chain of command to as far as your interpretation and application of the Rehab Act?
First of all, your statement, I'm trying to remember how you said it, that I work for Voc Rehab. Basically, I'm housed there. I actually work with Voc Rehab. I work with the Commission for the Blind, WorkNet, and the League of Human Dignity. My money is separate, and I'm just housed there.
So is your money federal or state?
It's federal. And I think that's odd, too, that I'm not a federal employee, but it's actually granted to the states. So then I think in turn that is what makes me a state employee.
So as far as, I mean, you're the oversight of you, since you're applying and, you know, federal, supervising federal law, mm-hmm. who do you send your reports to?
To Kansas City, to RSA in Kansas City.
Okay,
and then actually RSA out in D.C. If someone were to have a complaint about me or about the CAP program, it would probably go to Kansas City. And we have meetings twice a year with our region in Kansas City, and it's Kansas City that does monitoring reviews, too,
okay.
of my program.
So really the answer is you are in the federal chain of command. And
yes.
Just, okay. And my other question is, it said that because of the grandfathering, you know, Nebraska has it through the vocational department. But usually it's in the protection and advocacy. What is NCBVI a protection and advocacy agent?
No. It would be, it's called Nebraska Advocacy Services. They're the protection and advocacy agency for Nebraska.
But since this has been grandfathered in, what does that greatly diminish what they do, since this would seem like a pretty big chunk of advocacy?
No, not at all. They have many federal grants and projects for the mentally ill, developmental disability services. They have the PEAR project. They have the PABS, the protection and advocacy for beneficiaries of Social Security. They also have now a protection and advocacy grant for people with brain injury.
Is there any advantage then, since Nebraska's grandfathered in? It seemed like that would be the... Now, again, so that's a state... The people that do that are state employees?
No.
Okay, so they're federal, too?
They're private.
Funded federal.
Nonprofit, but they get federal grants.
I see.
Vicki?
Uh-huh.
If I understood you right, did you say that in most other states, the CAP program is housed?
Yes.
In the Protection and Aid Advocacy Agency?
Correct.
Okay. But Protection and Advocacy Agencies are mandated by the Rehab Act. But your jurisdiction does not include Protection and Advocacy Agency, right?
Right.
So I think it's important to remember that from at least from my perspective, you really don't have any overlap with them.
No, okay. No. We do work together closely because we are providing, both of us providing advocacy, and I stay in touch with them about really what all they're doing. And part of that is required in my regulations and also in some of their regulations, that we do communicate, that we do get input from each other on what those projects and programs are doing, because in essence, we're all advocating for people with disabilities.
Does your stream of information, I mean, with the, you know, the different clients like NCBVI services, does NCBVI send you a report on clients' services, or did you just give the clients information and wait, you know, it's up to the clients to contact you if there's questions or problems?
No, the NCBVI is required to provide information to each applicant of the commission when they apply for services, when they do their plan, and also when a case is closed. And then also at any time, if they feel an impasse has been reached, they're to advise the clients of the client assistance program.
But what I mean, what information stream do you get? You know, if I'm Bob Burns, you know, begin receiving services, NCBI, do you get a Bob Burns file?
That, no, absolutely not.
Okay.
No. Before I can talk to anyone with the commission, I would have to have you sign a release form. I do not have direct access. I have to have permission. I have the individual sign two release forms. One that gives me permission to talk to like the commission, and then also the other one giving the commission permission to talk to me. So
now,
it doesn't allow me direct access.
Okay.
So if somebody comes to you, you know, I've tended to to think about the client assistance program as coming into play when somebody has a problem. But, you know, when your report came to us, it seemed to me like I got educated, and I'm glad to be, about the fact that it isn't just that. I mean, somebody could come who is curious about services and maybe just looking for different possibilities or whatever. Now, when somebody comes to you like that, do you directly refer the person to the commission as an option, or do you have you know, what do you do then?
Certainly, I would. If the individual were to call and say they were needing assistance in finding employment and they weren't sure where to go, we would give all the options that would maybe be available for that city. You know, any workforce development, but then certainly if their disability is blindness, we would say the commission for the blind and give them the phone number and the address, and to maybe give them a little guidance that all you have to do would be to call and say that you're interested in services. But yes. And then also, I think what has really helped a lot, I think, is being over here on Wednesday afternoon, but then also being part of any committees that I can, so that I'm just not only involved with complaints, because I think it helps a lot when we have discussions about policies, or when we have discussions about concerns that maybe staff have brought up. And I'm always glad to provide any input at any time, and that's really made a tremendous difference. And working with the placement committee has been very valuable.
How does the public know of your existence? I mean, one of your things you mentioned, you know, you advise people about how to, you know, get the services that they are due. I mean, does schools notify you, or
uh-huh.
Social Security, or?
Every year, actually, through the client assistance program, to provide information to the public, we also do the Hotline for Disability Services, which provides information and referral to anyone across the state of Nebraska who has any kind of question related to a disability and services that they may be looking for. So we get the word out a lot through the hotline, and then we, with our directory, we have like 1,500 agencies in there that provide a service to people with disabilities, so we always send the hotline brochure and then a CAP brochure about our services. I also send a CAP brochure to the public schools, to the special ed teachers, to the guidance counselors, and let's see, and we do a lot of going out to support groups or any kind of groups that would be interested in finding out what the hotline and what CAP does.
So you run the hotline?
Yes.
Could you explain what that is, what that service is, and how it works?
That it's the same toll-free number, and that we just provide information and referral for anyone that has a question or a concern statewide across Nebraska. And then we try to line them up with resources. And it's interesting, the people that call in, it'll be, you know, people with disabilities trying to find employment, and so then we connect them to the appropriate agencies. Or oftentimes it'll be individuals that are calling and trying to find assistance with a wheelchair, and maybe they're working, or it's interesting that somehow the connection, we may ask, you know, well, are you working with vocational rehabilitation? Or if it's visually related, we'll say, have you had any contact with the commission? And so CAP cases come out of the individuals also calling the hotline. Because we'll say, you know, when we ask them, are you working with the commission? And they say, yes, well, have you asked the commission if they can assist you with this piece of technology? So sometimes we get referrals through the hotline that way.
Vicki?
Yes.
Jeff Altman, National Federation of the Blind in Nebraska, is present. I wanted to ask you, I've seen a commercial regarding the hotline on disabilities. Is that something, I've got kind of a three-part question here relating to that. Was that commercial produced out of your office?
The ticket to work?
The ticket to work thing is what I've been seeing. And it refers to the hotline. I was wondering if your office was involved in it. Is blindness represented in that commercial? Because I can't personally determine based on the verbal aspect of the commercial. And if it is, in fact, represented in the commercial, was NCBDI involved in consulting on the production of that commercial?
It actually came through the Medicaid infrastructure grant that was promoting information about Ticket to Work to people across Nebraska. And they asked if the CAP and hotline could be the first call for help for people looking for resources on how to get to back to employment. And I'm trying to recall, but I think in one of those commercials, there is an individual who's blind in it. I'm trying to recall, and I can't remember, because there's different versions of it. And I don't know if anyone from here is involved with the Medicaid infrastructure grant. Carlos?
Carlos, yeah,
I am. Carlos is. And so certainly, and I don't think we've received, in fact, what I was going to do, they also did some PR work marketing for employers. And so what I need to do is get a list of the employers that have called through the hotline and CAP and bring those over to Pearl so the commission can also follow up with them. And then most of the individuals, I would say, have been referred to Maximus and to Voc Rehab, but also to a benefits planner.
The reason I ask about it, of course, I'm not seeing what the visual information is that is being displayed, but it seems like every individual that is given a soundbite is saying, I can't do this or I can't do that. And it comes across, from my standpoint, as being somewhat negative, and I'm wondering, you know, what the source of all that was and what the intention was, and perhaps it needs to be looked at terms of what kind of message is being sent by it.
And I, what they did, that was a nationally produced PSA, and they contacted them, a marketing firm, advertising firm from Lincoln contacted them and asked if they could put a sound bite at the end and use that. And I think what it is, without, there is a twist to that, but now I can't remember the twist on it, because you're right, there is saying that I can't do that, but it's supposed to be a positive twist on it, that just because I can't do that doesn't mean I can't do everything else, and to not stereotype you. So yes, there is that little bit negative, but it's to be turned around to be the positive.
Larry Maggett, excuse me, I want to go back to Bob's question about how you get the word out about CAP. Did you mention this already, Vicki? Like, when we sign up a client, we're required to give a CAP brochure, and it's actually in our paperwork. We have to, there's a checkbox we have to check off that says we did give a CAP brochure off or to the client, and that there we explain to them what CAP is a little bit and that kind of stuff. Did you mention that already, or did I?
Not to that detail, so
okay,
thank
okay,
you.
Okay, okay, okay.
No, I just said that you're required at application and plan development and closure.
Okay. When you are talking about the 55 people last year and the 59 people this year,
uh-huh.
Are those people who have complained, you know, had some kind of problem? What, you know, what percentage of the people that you serve are not complaining or not having, you know?
Well, those are all concerns and complaints. And,
okay.
And that really is what my job consists mainly of. But like through the hotline and for information and referral, I think it was about 1,600 to 1,700 calls. But for the CAP program itself, it was 59. And that would have been a total of from the general VR agency, the Commission for the Blind, and any Center for Independent Living or WorkNet concerns.
Okay, and so only two of them were each year were people who were associated with the commission.
Yes.
And so the counselors on the phone at the hotline, I mean, is it just, do you call up and say what the issue is and you get transferred to, or is it just one person with broad knowledge that answers the phone? Or
There is myself, and then I have a resource information specialist, and then a part-time associate that would answer the phone.
I see. So if I called and said, hi, I'm blind and I can't find a job, then you would refer me to just NCBBI or?
No. We would refer to, depending, like the workforce development, and then the Commission for the Blind, and if there's any other resources in that area. For instance, like maybe in Omaha, you could refer the individual to WorkNet. We try to give them all the choices that would be there. But I would say that we would strongly encourage that their best choice to start would be with the Commission.
Vicki?
Yes.
Is there some kind of national profile that would help us understand how Nebraska compares in terms of CAP and how it's promoted to clients? Do we promote the program well? Is there anything that would tell us anything about that?
Well, I was trying to think, because there is a national report that does go out. And I could double check in that on this year's that'll be coming out if there's something in, because they do compare all the states, but off the top of my head I can't remember what all they do compare about. But I feel the commission does an excellent job in advising the clients about CAP, and does an excellent job in wanting to resolve the issues and help the client understand. And I also feel that the staff, I think, are comfortable to include CAP on issues and concerns, that they feel that I would take a fair look at it and offer the best solution, or would also tell them too if I agreed or if I disagreed.
Now, if you've met with someone, or if someone is talking with you and and the person doesn't want to sign a release form or whatever, then is that the end of what you do with the person? Or?
Well, yes, because I would advise them that I could not talk to anybody over at the commission to help resolve it, and I could not take a look at their case file without it. But what I would do is that they probably have shared with me their concern, and I would advise them on what to do, maybe how to ask it, or maybe to suggest a meeting with everybody, or maybe to suggest a meeting that they could contact the supervisor, or to maybe say, this is how you need to frame your question, when maybe, you know, if they're asking for something.
So if you were going to meet with that person and the staff person in question or whatever, would you do that without seeing any kind of records or anything?
Without a release form, I don't think I could go to any meeting, because I would have to have it in writing. Is that what?
Yeah, so the person in question couldn't just say, well, I just want to meet with you and whoever the staff person is, but I want to do this paper stuff and don't want to have, you know.
The commission couldn't release information to me there without the client's permission in written format.
So you couldn't have just, you know, like a meeting with whoever the staff person was, you and the client?
No.
Without some kind of paper saying, you know, we all agree that this is going to happen? And
right. When my cases get reviewed, like in the monitoring, that is what they look for, the necessary release forms. And also, the commission could not release the information. I wouldn't feel comfortable.
And the commission couldn't have a staff person just, you know, talking with you informally and some client informally and just do that?
No.
Yeah,
without
this is Carlos, yeah.
Papers.
Without the release, you cannot.
Uh-uh.
Confidentiality.
I came a little late. I apologize for that. I missed part of your presentation. Are there areas in which of those 59 complaints in the 55 previous year, is there any particular area where the commission is seeing kind of a concentration of problems being brought up?
No, because with only two, it's kind of difficult to make that generalization. I think the placement committee, and I think the intent of that, I think when a survey was done through the rehab council, that there was a concern about placement. And I think way back then there were a lot of concerns about placement and placement services. And I think through the placement committee and with what Pearl and Carlos and Bob take a look at with placement has changed that a lot.
When Vicki was talking 59 and 55 cases, she was including VR in that?
Yes.
All of them, yeah. The two there
oh,
were only
yes.
two each year from the commission that had to
yes.
do with the commission. The other 57 and 53 were from other entities.
Yeah. They were all about you, Jeff. And guess who led him? I still haven't forgiven him for my training experience.
Vicki, going back to
well.
Yes, you did do your job well. Like I tell my kids that.
Going back to Barb's question, do clients usually have a fear of signing those papers to get permission to get into their files or something? Is that
no,
generally
I don't run
an issue?
Across that very often.
Okay.
Just occasionally I have, and I wouldn't even say one every year. It's maybe one every 2 years that they worry that maybe by calling the client assistance program that something could happen to them or that things could get worse or they're going to get chewed out for bringing me in.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that with any of the agencies that I work with, I really think the directors and the supervisors talk a lot about that it is okay and you do not say anything to the clients for contacting CAP.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is, to me, strongly stressed. And if if a client shares that with me, I really ask them, if that does happen, you need to call me back, and you really need to let me know that, because then I need to go and talk to that staff person.